Will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Imagine, if you will, or once upon a time, there was a fairy tale city. I'll call it Sun City. It was a magical place, except there was this one thing. There were a few rock walls that were toxic. Now, there weren't many of these stone fixtures, but they were present in the landscape. Anyone who came to that magical city was strongly warned that just one brush against the side of the stone would burn. So many of the Sun City citizens didn't touch, didn't move the toxic barriers. Didn't make sense. The rocks couldn't be repurposed for anything. They had nothing to offer. Still, they wouldn't move them. At most, they would occasionally hang a sign saying, "Toxic wall." Finally, a visitor asked one of the residents, "Well, you know, why don't you just deal with them and move them out of the way?" The reaction was one of puzzlement. Why would we do that? The rock walls are part of the landscape of our city. It's up to us to just be careful around them, to keep things as they are. That's kind of a crazy way to start, I know, and it's a crazy story. Sounds like some kind of weird fantasy. Acidic stone walls. What's that all about? Well, it has occurred to me that that story is a remarkable analogy for our lives. The world is a place with many toxic items, and we've got to take care around them because if we touch them, they burn us. Sometimes we can't avoid the toxicity. Times of difficulty, like illness, challenges in our daily lives, or in our relationships happen. We all have these stones, and they inevitably show up around every corner or curve on the bumpy road of life. They interrupt our peaceful lives. Things are smooth sailing, and then all of a sudden there's a huge boulder in our path, and we take detour after detour after detour to avoid the toxicity. And many times these boulders blocking our peaceful journey are personal. Juliet's personal poisonous wall item is a fear of being stupid, feeling stupid. For no one in her childhood ever believed she could think for herself. She was told, "You're just a girl." And she internalized it and believed it. She finds herself walled in time and time again. You're just that. You're just this. And that pebble of self-doubt stings and burns and causes her to emotionally limp. Sometimes it threatens to destroy her. She has no peace. Now, Fred's poisonous stone is anger, and he never learned to express it appropriately. Some days are easy without a sighting of a single eruption. Other days, however, when Fred feels as if he's walking in his bare feet on a room filled with Legos all over the floor, he steps on one and then out with another and another. The mere presence of this stone pushes his button, causes his life to spin out of control, and he strikes out at family. Then the poisonous rock of anger becomes like a great wall, a veritable citadel between him and his loved ones. Personal rocks are planted in the landscape within us from a variety of places. Sometimes they're behavior patterns, or our fears, or our reactions that we have slowly but surely developed during our adult life. Other times, the large walls are rooted in our past, in memories, images, and experiences. Around every corner, there they are, bringing sadness and regret. Do you recognize such walls in your personal landscape. Some of the most toxic things we encounter are from within. At other times, the threat comes not from within, but from around us. There are acidic boulders in our communities: racism, classism, sexism, bigotry, greed, hatred. Poisonous stones are all around our beloved community, piling up. Sometimes they're rocks that skip up out of fear or misunderstanding about people who are different. Other times, the stone skips up from reaction to events that are premeditated or accidental. The effect is still the same. They destroy the peaceful lives of people like you and me. So do you recognize walls in the landscape of our community? Toxic stones become a dividing wall between us. We stay on our side. They stay on theirs. And, well, community peace is fragile. Did you know that at the turn of the 20th century, the beginning of the 1900s, folks started calling it the Christian Century? There's a journal. It's entitled Christian Century. It was named after a certain turn of the century optimism. Its editors believed that the final years of the millennium, people would learn to live in unity and harmony together. They were wrong. The 20th century has come and gone, and there still is no peace. At the dawn of the 21st, we live in a world in which families, communities, nations are divided. But into this divided wall, with walls of boulders, comes our peace. The Apostle Paul declares in the letter to the church of Ephesus, Jesus is our peace. Jesus has broken down the dividing wall, the hostility between us. Jesus came into a divided wall in which men and women were separated by a rock wall of sexism. Jesus came into a divided world in which the religiously pious built stone walls between themselves and the common folk. Jesus came into a divided wall in which the rich were separated from the poor, the weak isolated from the strong, healthy distinct from the ill, all of which sounds to me a whole lot like our world today. Jesus came to show us that we might be reconciled into one humanity, into a place in the place of two, thus making peace. Jesus came that we might know peace. Now, the Apostle Paul is reminding that church in Ephesus what we already know through the Gospel of Luke. One of the great stories in Luke, in the whole Bible, in fact, tells that at the moment of Jesus' last breath, a curtain in the temple was torn in two. Now, in the Jewish temple, a curtain separated believers from the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies was a place, the place where God symbolically resided. That's where God lived, hung out. And only one person was allowed to enter. It would be like if we hung up a large curtain up here around the pulpit. And you couldn't ever go, ever. And you couldn't even see behind it. Pastor Jim, no. Debbie, no. Couldn't. It would only be, it was the holy, most holy spot on the earth, so holy that only the high priest could enter, and only on the Day of Atonement, one day a year. A place so holy, one day a year. So holy that the high priest took a rope, tied it around his ankle. That way, if he died back here, the other priests could pull him out, exactly, reel him back. I'm not making this stuff up, folks. That's the way things were, walled up. including God, very symbolically walled up. Imagine their surprise when, on Good Friday, the curtain was torn in two. The final wall separating humanity from its creator was ripped apart. Jesus embraced the poison of the cross so that all walls that separate us from God and one another would be brought down and there would be peace. This is what the cross means for us. Jesus not only brings us eternal peace with God, but also brings us peace in our relationships today, brings peace to communities and even the world. Jesus tears down the walls that divide. You see, some people are like medieval castles. They keep their walls high, safe from being hurt. They protect themselves emotionally by permitting no exchange of feelings with others so no one can enter. They're secure from attack that way. Perhaps you know what it's like to live behind such walls. Maybe you feel as if family or friends are against you. The good news is Christ has come to destroy all the walls that separate us from one another, no matter where, no matter what those walls may be. Jesus is our peace. Perhaps the walls you're behind aren't personal walls. They're walls of community isolation. People don't look like you or dress like you or speak the same language. The good news is this: Christ has come to destroy all the walls that separate us from one another, no matter what, where or what those walls may be. Jesus is our peace. Look, we just can't spend our life avoiding walls of toxicity. They divide us from one another and they destroy our community. They lead to suspicion and we have no peace. So what are the stone walls around you and me? What's dividing us? What boulder is, well, it's just too big to see around? What's keeping us from peace? Are there walls that we need to bring down? Stones that need to be dug up, moved, rolled away? Maybe you think, well, your wall's up and there's nothing we can do to bring it down. Sometimes there are walls that, well, we think can't be moved. I used to think that about the Berlin Wall. There was a time in my life when I honestly thought it would never, ever come down, not even in my lifetime. I was wrong. You see, I forgot that God is still speaking. It did come down. Yours can too, because God is still speaking. It's not too late to start. Today, right now, tear down the walls, roll away the stone, your boulder that's blocking the way. Do you feel like your boulder's too big to budge? Well, look all around you. There are people who are literally the hands of God, the palms of God, ready to help. Call on God. God will help. God is our peace. God even rolled away the stone that entombed Jesus. So surely one of us is willing to take down the wall of hostility for the sake of peace. Surely one of us will roll away the stone that holds us back. God took care of Jesus' boulder and rolled away that stone. Some said it couldn't be done. If you think that was just for Jesus, you're wrong. That was for you and for me as well. You see, there's no walls in heaven. Jesus has knocked down those walls. And the places where people start rebuilding those walls, that's where you're going to find Jesus. That's where you'll find Jesus at the wall, reaching over, helping us. Think your wall's too high? God's rope is long enough to reach you and me. And what does God do? Pulls us in. There's plenty of rope in God's world to reach even you and me and all of God's children. Thanks be to God. Amen.